Long distance healing, how far can you heal?
There seem to be no limits. We certainly have examples of 10,000 mile distances for long distance healing. And it's not just healing, it's also various forms of PK. Some of these same Qigong masters who can heal at those great distances have also demonstrated they can change the radioactive decay rate of radioactive materials. They can deflect laser beams. They can change the properties of water. So this ability seems to work not just for healing, but for a wide variety of phenomena where we're changing the physics.
Claude, how important is the recipient's belief in all of this?
I don't think it's important because what a lot of these experiments, there's an inanimate object, a decaying americium-237 or something, some source that is doing the decaying. We also have experiments such as Bengston's, where he took skeptics and taught them a procedure by which they were send energy to little mice in cages, and never allowed to touch the cages, though. And, of course, the mice didn't understand belief, and yet he found this was a very effective means of healing. One of the interesting side effects is that he discovered that if you place a mouse that has been given cancer in an area where you have been doing healing on other mice, just the proximity of the first mouse causes the healing rate to be much higher than you would expect. So there's a proximity effect from healing.
You mean just if he got in that range, that energy is still there, it would help him.
Exactly. That's right.
God, that's something else. I'm going to tap into you for physics for just a moment.
Okay.
Is it safe to say that the laws of physics are always the same no matter where it is in the universe, no matter where we are?
Well, it depends on what you mean by the laws. I mean, if by the laws you mean that you will take into account differences in place to place, then they're the same. But if you don't take into account the differences in different regions of space, then they'll be different. And that's one of the things I believe that we're seeing. Astronomers talk about dark energy and dark matter, areas where it seems like there's extra gravity, and yet we can't find the matter that's causing it. Other places where there's a repulsion, where things are being pushed apart, and they can't explain why that can happen at all. But it turns out that subtle energy, this exact force that the Russians call torsion, does have that effect. It has two polarities. One pushes things away. One pulls them toward. And it appears to exist very naturally in the vacuum of space. And therefore, you would expect there'd be patches with more of one or more of the other. Not only that, but it turns out that the like energies attract more of the same. So it's not like electromagnetism, where opposites attract. This is the same attracts. So if you have an area of space with more of the right-handed spin, it will attract more of the same. So you would expect to find space to be somewhat lumpy with areas of dark energy and areas of dark matter. So this is an interesting theory that is coming out of the subtle energy work, but appears to have application for cosmology on the cosmic scale. And now if you go to some of the observations, like Richard Hoagland, Wilcox talking about evidence that we're seeing anomalous heating of planets in the solar system. And how can that be? Well, if we're going into a region where the relative background energy of the right-handed versus left-handed spin, the torsional spin, the chi, is different in the background, that will cause effects of exactly this type.
Who came up with all this? For it to all work, to fit like a puzzle.
Well, I think a lot of credit goes to a man named Nikolai Kozarev, who was an astrophysicist who came up with the idea of torsion in the 1950s. He was obsessed by the nature of time. Now, what is it? He had spent 13 or 14 years in Stalin's gulag in the 30, so he had a lot of time on his hands. He also
too much time, probably.
Well, I think it did him some good.
Yeah.
But he also got to know the shaman in the Altai Mountains area in Russia, and they gave him a different perspective. I think they helped him to look with the intuitive perspective much better. So he came up with a lot of these ideas, and he began testing them, first on his own, then other scientists began testing them. By 1970, when Sheila Ostrander and Lynn Schroeder were over there writing their book, Psychic Discoveries Behind the Iron Curtain, they spent an entire chapter interviewing him. And by that point, he was already accepted and admired in Russia for his discoveries. After that, it's pretty clear from other scientists that at least 20 years of large government programs went on further testing this work. It's amazing that all this has happened, and yet in America, we know nothing about it.
Tell me a little bit about torsion field physics.
Okay. I will tell you as best I can understand.
Yeah, I was going to say, make sure we can understand.
Yeah, well, I'll do that too. One of the difficulties is that these programs probably may have been classified programs in Russia, okay, back during that time period. We don't really know exactly, but what we do know is that when Glasnost and Perestroika broke out in 1991 or so, the papers came flooding out. A lot of the scientists suddenly were out of work, and they began appealing to the West, and there was a whole opening of information. And that's how we know as much as we do. A lot of those papers have never been translated into English, however, so we only have a fraction of the information. So one of the reasons it took me so long to write this book is that I had to really fit the puzzle pieces together from every possible source I could find and do the best I could, and I may still find there's some pieces missing when it's all said and done. That being said, the model appears to be that in the vacuum of space, there's two types of energy waves that travel through, that propagate. One spins to the right, one spins to the left. They have to do with conserving angular momentum. Every object which spins has angular momentum. The Earth has angular momentum. Electrons and protons do. It appears that whenever one of those changes its direction of spin, it flips its spin into some other axis, that creates a torsion wave, which then propagates through space. So torsion waves are created by changing of spins.
And what changes the spin?
Well, it could be interaction bumping into another particle would do it, for example. Electromagnetic forces will also do it. If you have an electron, you hit it with an electromagnetic wave, you accelerate the electron. When you accelerate it, you also cause its spin to change. So electromagnetism actually creates torsion.